Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. Coming up within the next hour or so, Chris Russell, host of the Chris Russell Show on the Team 980. He'll join us at 7:20 to talk Commanders. And Pete Haley will join us from Paris. He's our NBC Olympics correspondent. You don't want to miss that. He joined us last week. So we'll talk to him at 8 o'clock. But right now it's time to hit the skins. Training camp coverage on 106.7 The Fan is presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com is where you find them online. Your clear home improvement choice. So Devontae Adams was featured on Hot Ones recently with Amon-Ra St. Brown, who he's also featured with in the Netflix show Receiver. He had some not so nice things to say about FedEx Field and also the Commanders fan base. Here's Devontae Adams from the Vegas Raiders.
And then you got the Washington football team. I mean, they obviously just miserable because the stadium is horrible. The city is not great at all. I'm probably going to get somebody at my front door after this, but that's just how I feel. We on Hot Ones right now, so this is just a raw and cut.
Right.
Yeah.
Not making any friends here in the D.C. area, Devontae Adams.
Is that all he said? That he didn't give a reason for why he doesn't like the city?
That's all he gave you. Mm. But look, he's played here. I don't know how much experience he has being in D.C. other than flying in here, being shuttled off to his fancy hotel, and then playing at FedEx Field. Like,
yeah, I mean,
I just don't know why was it such a bad experience? Why were the fans so miserable?
I mean, he lived in Green Bay forever.
But is he entirely inaccurate? I mean, really, what he's saying?
The stadium, okay, but he's killing the city. You don't know with the city.
I don't. See, my interpretation is he's not breaking down the city like the monuments and all of the sites. I think he's really just grilling the fan base.
Yeah, and them being miserable, as he quoted, was, look, they've been following a team owned by Dan Snyder that's had no sort of success for 30 years. He's probably pretty close on calling the fan base miserable because they've put up with a lot of bad football over the last three decades here in D.C.
That's the way it is. I've always said this, though. When the team wins, it is a cure for all.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
So in 2012, and that's what we have to go back to, that magical year of 2012 with RG3, people weren't complaining about the commute to the stadium. They weren't complaining about the stadium. They were just swept into RG3 mania.
Everyone wanted to go to games.
And then the fan base is fine.
Right.
But yeah, when you're losing year after year after year, is their last winning season 2016?
Were they 8-7-1?
Yes. I think that was their last winning season.
Sounds right.
So when you're losing consistently, you've got a terrible owner. People are going to be unhappy, and I think you'll get comments like that. Does it fire you up, Cakes? Some people get fired up about this kind of thing.
I mean,
I just didn't think it was entirely inaccurate. Other than if you actually took the literal thing where he says the city, if you took that, you'd be like, hey, I mean, Washington's a great city.
Right.
Now it's one of the most visited cities in the world.
Now it's not
so
like
he's probably just generalizing.
He wasn't just picking on the Commanders and Washington. He also mentioned the Eagles, the Patriots, and the Bills, the latter of which he called, quote, disrespectful for their snowball throwing antics. Yeah. But I mean, most fans are going to start, if there's snow accumulated in the stadium, at some point they're going to start throwing snowballs.
They don't throw them in Green Bay.
I don't think that's exclusive to just Buffalo.
Packers fans don't throw snowballs.
I would imagine they do at some, they have
I mean,
at some
it's
point.
It's miserable up there in the wintertime.
Or maybe they're just a more respectful group.
Maybe not. Yeah, you might be right.
Maybe they're not as insane as Bill's Mafia. It seems to be a bit of an extreme fan base.
Yeah, so it's been 7 years since Washington has had a winning record. Seven seasons.
Seven.
What? Yeah.
Just such a drought. Just such
and
a
it wasn't even a great winning
through.
Season. It was 8-7-1.
Yeah.
Basically 500.
Right.
Hopefully Jaden Daniels can turn it all around. And if Jaden can do what RG3 did, there will be less complaining about the stadium and less complaining about all of that. and the fan base will be reignited, which will hopefully happen this year. It'd be awesome.
I mean, if you think about it, it's been such a bad run for this team since we were in college in the early 90s.
Yeah.
They've had three double-digit winning seasons. So they've had three 10-win seasons. Nothing more than 10. Just 10.
So
three.
Basically one per decade. Since
one per 10 years.
Since
correct.
The 90s.
Yes.
Well, I think in the entire tenure of this show. So we started Weekends in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
So if you start with the Weekend show, that's 28 years, right?
Right.
By my math, 28 years. They've won two playoff games.
I was going to say, they've been to the playoffs this many times.
But just think about the playoff wins.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Am I wrong on that? It might only be one.
No, you're right, because they won one in 99. They won one in 05.
That's it.
Yeah. Everything else,
they've got two playoff wins in the history of this radio show.
The last great moment for this franchise, for this team, the last Super Bowl win, I remember it, well, somewhat hazily, because we threw a rager the night before. It was the night before classes started, I believe. And I woke up, and I'm trying to put this delicately. I had used my alarm clock as a toilet.
And you were famous for that.
Well, it was. I was celebrating.
Not just the alarm clock from a different spot.
It's kind of my signature.
Yes.
I was celebrating the then Skins' huge win over Buffalo in the Super Bowl.
Overserved.
I was overserved at my own house. Somehow that happened. But that was 30 plus years ago.
Yeah.
That's a long time in the rearview mirror. And hello, I'm a more responsible person now. I'm more responsible with alcohol than I was when I was like 20.
So it's been
I'm really flummoxed by when you really think about two playoff wins in the history of this radio show that I can think about when we first started out. We were the rights holders.
Yeah.
We did an Art Monk. No, it was Daryl Green cruise. Do you remember that?
I do remember
that. We did a live broadcast from a Daryl Green cruise, which was probably 1997.
I think we interviewed Gus Frat is kind of jumping out at me.
Yeah, a couple guys came by and we were outside.
Sure.
As there was kind of a red carpet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just before the season was about to start. I mean, we did a show, the first ever broadcast from the opening of FedEx Field.
You know what? Thank God.
And you would have bet that they would have had, I don't know, 10 playoff wins in 28 years? Is that reasonable?
Yeah.
15?
Jason, thank God there's not a picture of that event, because if my memory serves correct, I think I was wearing this is like to a radio appearance.
Yeah.
I was wearing Redskins mesh shorts,
mm-hmm.
a Skins jersey, and I think I was wearing a Skins hat. I was like,
probably.
I was like, you're Skins all in. Head to toe. Like it was not a great look.
So when Devontae Adams says something like that, there's some truth to it. Somebody tweeted, because I had tweeted that at Junks Radio, if you want to follow us on Twitter, Devontae's statement. And somebody was upset. I'm like, how is he saying that about our city? And my interpretation was, he's not saying that, even though literally he's saying it, but I don't think he's saying the monument stink and
a generalization.
He's talking about the fan base.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And he's coming from Green Bay, which has arguably one of the best fan bases.
He walked into FedEx. I'm sure they played here in 2021 when he was still a member of the Packers. I know that he walked in here and saw 35,000 Packers fans.
Right.
And he's probably what's going on here? What's going on with this fan base? It's half, or maybe more than half full of people wearing green and gold. It looked like Lambeau East to him. So he has to have a negative view of the fan base when he sees same amount of people rooting for the Packers as for the home team.
Every player in the league probably has the same reaction to that.
Right.
Anybody who's come in here to play on an opposing team probably goes, what is going on here?
Sure. I mean, he's used to nothing but a string of sellouts at Lambeau Field.
Yeah.
And then he sees a three-quarters filled stadium, and half of it's filled with Packers fans. So, of course, he's going to have a negative outlook on the stadium and the fan base. It makes sense. I don't begrudge him. It's his opinion. certain places he likes playing.
Yeah, like I said, he was killing the city, but he's probably generalizing based on the fact that nobody comes to games.
Right.
He's not commenting on the monuments and the historical aspect of the city. He's just talking about the football fan base.
I'm just going to guess that Devontae Adams has never even walked around D.C. outside of whatever hotel they were staying in when they came in to play the Washington football team.
Probably
whatever the name of the team.
And they're not probably staying in D.C.
They might have been staying at MGM National Harbor. They may have been staying, in Virginia, in Arlington. Who knows?
I'm guessing they're staying close to Landover.
Could have been. Or you stay in Alexandria, take a bus across the river. I don't know where the teams stay when they come and play against Washington.
I think they stay at the harbor. I think they stay at MGM.
Okay. That makes sense.
I mean, maybe not every team, but I think some teams do.
Right. So Devontae Adams, not a fan of playing against the Commanders here in DC.
All right, so what were some of the other highlights from yesterday? A buddy of mine was at practice yesterday and said that they weren't on the field very long.
Short practice?
Yeah, I don't know how long it was total, but he said he was probably talking to people too. So
I did see JP Finley's tweet. Brandon Coleman getting left tackle work with starters, rookie. That's also the plan. He tweeted that yesterday from training camp. And then Nikki Javala from the Washington Post, she followed up with some quotes from Dan Quinn on Brandon Coleman. I knew he was a very good athlete, but one of the things I've been impressed with him is he has great balance for a big guy. He's very rarely someone who's out of position. He's a very in-control player as an offensive lineman, and that's a real attribute as an offensive lineman, end quote from Dan Quinn. So the rookie looks like he's going to have a sizable role on that offensive line.
Yeah. He may not
year one.
He may not start week one, but he's going to be an eventual starter this year.
Yeah.
It's hard to read too much into a lot of the things that you see coming out. For example, Jason, if you go to the Washington Post, one of the takeaways, four-string quarterback Sam Hartman hit wide receiver Jameson Crowder on a crossing route. That's Sam Fortier, who we had on the show. I mean, okay, Jameson Crowder looks good, but he's not going to be an impactful player, that impactful of a player for the Commanders this year.
I'm just going to be honest. Sam Hartman.
You're not going to see Sam Hartman.
Right. I understand you got to write about him because you got to file your stories or whatever. If there's any sort of Sam Hartman, playing actual games, it's Titanic.
Correct.
Like, he's a developmental guy. It's all about Jaden. I don't even need to hear that much about Marcus Mariota, because unless Jaden gets injured, he's not part of the plan either.
Right.
He's just the backup. And he only goes in case of extreme dire emergency.
Well, apparently Mariota was bad again yesterday. So you don't want to see Commanders fans. You do not want to see Marcus Mariota.
No, you don't.
But Cakes, I know you don't want to see it, but it's a necessity that
understood. Mariota, Sam Hartman's got to get work. So does Mariota.
Mariota's got to get work.
Because, yeah, no doubt.
I mean, what if this team is, 7-3 and Jaden gets nicked up and can't go for a week, and all of a sudden you're in the throes of a divisional race.
No, you're right. Mariota's going to play this year.
Well,
will put any amount of money Mariota plays. I'm not saying because Jaden Daniels going to be bad. I'm just combination performance/injury. I said this last year about every quarterback, and I was right on most of them. You're going to see Mariota play.
I hope you're wrong. No, but you're probably right.
But there's no chance Daniels plays 17 games. Zero.
I know no one wants to see Mariota or any backup playing with the number ones, but it's a necessity, especially when you have 18-game seasons.
Yeah.
These backup quarterbacks are very important to a lot of teams.
Understood. That's why they're making the money.
They need to be ready in case they need to spot start for a week or two, especially with teams that are making playoff
pushes. I understand that.
Of course.
But if the Commanders are in that 7-3 scenario and Mariota takes over, be prepared for them to be 7-6 with the quickness.
Well, he'll just hand the ball off.
You don't think Mariota can come in and you can steal a win for two weeks? That's all you're trying to do.
He can do that.
But I don't have a lot of faith
in him. It's not like he's gone 0-for. I mean, he can win some games. He's just not the long haul.
Right.
You don't want to see him for over the
long. You want to see him maybe for one game at a time. That's it. All right, coming up next, we'll continue to talk Commanders Chris Russell from Team 980. He will join us next here on The Fan.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide cleans better than the leading competitive free detergent, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues.
Plus, Tide Free and Gentle has no dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on her skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.